Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is John Sadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for late night Reds talk.
It's emergency time, folks.
It's emergency time.
It's emergency time. Welcome to, I guess, early morning Reds talk live. Happy NCAA March Madness Day.
Yeah, hopefully the NCAA tournament bets go better than my first four bets. That was rough. Yeah.
Nick Kirby came on here and told me he bet against my beloved Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and it bit him in the patootie. But you know what, Nick? Our good friends at Bet Online are getting you ready for the NCAA tournament, and we've got a lot of excellent odds here, and you talked about Memphis earlier in the week. You still feeling pretty good about the Tigers?
I don't know why anyone would want to take my advice, but yeah, sure. Let's go Tigers. I will tell you one quick play that I like is if you go and you bet on a particular region, I like taking Villanova and Tennessee. Parlay them both together. I don't think Arizona's going to win that region. You'll get some good odds in there. That's my big bet.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that a lot, actually. I'm a big Tennessee guy. I thought that should have been a two. But, hey, if you are looking to make a little cash during the NCAA tournament, go over to betonline.ag and use our excellent promo code of BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for a nice 50% welcome bonus. That way, things can go a lot better than betting on the first four, like Nick Kirby did.
Tough scene.
Yeah, tough scene. But this is an emergency show. We are here to discuss yet some more moves. No, Clay, Carlos was not sent to the Mariners. That was you. Accurate. Hi, Max. So, so in like the span of like 15 minutes today, I have my phone down and I text you. And Xavier has a new head basketball coach and Amir Garrett's traded. So we're going to get to that because it was just an insane like 5 to 10 minutes of like what is going on in my house. But let's kind of get to some cool stuff at first, I guess. Is there such thing? I don't know if Reds fans want to hear like things are good right now. So today the Reds announced that they make a move to bring in Donovan Solano. You and I talked about this a little bit off the air. Actually, a pretty darn good ball player. Really hits left-handed pitching well. Has a really solid OBP throughout his career, especially the last few years when he was playing for the Giants. Like him a lot. Play some good defense. I think this is a pretty decent move for the Reds as far as, like, I know everyone wants to shit on everything going on right now, but I like this pickup.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that for three consecutive years has been a substantially above average hitter against left-handed pitching, and that's the one area that the Reds needed to improve on. So, I know everyone's down on the team overall, doesn't think this team has a chance to compete. I don't know. You know, I might try to talk you into it. You know, I'm a little crazy. I don't think they're as far off as maybe we think. I think, you know, I don't know if they'll make a couple more moves. I hope they do, but I think you could make a couple more moves. And I think when we get a little later here, however late we decide to do this, and kind of go through like the projected lineups, might not be as terrible as I think a lot of people think right now.
Yeah, I think that's what I kind of took away from. Yes, obviously, we're not trying to act like it's going to be as good. Losing Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos sucks. We're well aware of this. But when you look at what the offense can be, especially with a designated hitter, like we've kind of talked about this, like I think it's a little better than people want to admit right now. I know if Carlos was here, he'd be virtually throwing things at me. But I really don't think the offense sucks all that much, truthfully. And I know people may want us to come on here and be like, this is terrible and boo and this and that. But I actually kind of like how the lineup looks for a decent amount of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the next move, I'll let you introduce this one, Mr. Tim.
Me, Mr. Tim. I like that. All right. So yes, today the Reds announced they moved Amir Garrett for Mike Minor. And I was cracking up at this, not necessarily that the trade happened, but how everyone just is like, okay, I'm going to take a step back. I shouldn't say everyone, but how there's big conversation of like, we really need to move on from your Garrett. I mean, he was pushing so bad and then the Reds trade him. And it's like, just typical Reds keeping everything going. And it's like, I don't think you can't have one or the other. Mike Minor's an innings eater. You know, I've liked him quite a bit. I've had him in a few seasons in Dynasty Ball. I know he didn't have his best season last year in Kansas City, but I don't necessarily hate this move for the Reds by any means. I mean, we're talking about a guy the Reds were literally hiding in the bullpen. He would go like 9-10 days without pitching because they just didn't trust them. So I think it's actually, you know, we want to talk about all these trades they've made this week. I think this is a good upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know if I'd make a big deal about this trade one way or the other. I don't think it's, you know, something you can say, oh, well, that's a great trade. I don't know why anyone could say this is a bad trade. You know, it's not really meant to be much at all. I don't think it's kind of, you know, just having two guys fill two spots for two different teams. I hate seeing Garrett kind of leave on a sour note with the Reds because I really liked the guy. He was a fun pitcher. I knew his antics might have, you know, worn some people down at times. But you know, it stinks. I was hoping he could have a resurgent year, but in reality, same with Gino, the chances of him having like a full resurgence, probably slim if we're being, you know, realistic. Mike Minor, you know, the one interesting thing is I actually just saw this before. I hadn't seen it before. I don't know if Derek Johnson was his pitching coach at Vanderbilt, but Derek Johnson was at Vanderbilt while Mike Minor was there. So that makes me, that like was like, oh, you know, flashing light bulbs.
Yeah.
If Derek
Johnson likes to work for the Reds from time to time.
Yeah. You know, so I think there might be something, you know, with that. Mike Minor could be a guy that eats some innings early in the year. If the Reds are out of it, like 99.9% of Reds fans right now think, you could flip him at the deadline and you're going to have these younger pitchers to fill in and it could work out really well. So this is kind of interesting. Our guy Eno Saris actually has Minor ranked, I'm not doing math at this hour, but like 60, 70 spots higher than Wade Miley in his rankings. Now the Zips projections have Miley slightly better. So I know there's a big conversation about, you know, why would you let Wade Miley go and get this trade win. I think it was about $2 million difference between the two. Yeah. I mean, Miner might have more upside. You know, I know that that sounds crazy after Wade Miley's coming off this great year, but is Wade Miley going to be able to repeat that? I really don't know if Wade Miley is going to repeat that in 2022. He is a fascinating player. I'm interested to see what he does. I could see him having a great year, and I could see him having a terrible year. I really honestly could see both. So I hope the Reds have done their homework on that, and they, you know, feel very confident in that decision. But yeah, I don't know. So go Mike Miner.
Yeah, I'll be pulling for Mike Miner. I had him in fantasy ball those couple years. He was pitching for the Rangers, I think it was, where he was pitching pretty well. So I'm pretty okay with it. Before we kind of move on, I saw Bryce put it in the chat as I was also getting the push notification. It is official. Freddie Freeman to the Dodgers, 6 years, $162 million. And we kind of talked about this a little bit, how we liked what the Braves did getting Matt Olson, because we liked Olson a little more than where Freeman was at this point in his career. And I totally understand the Dodgers doing this, but I guess this moves Max Muncy to third, or they kind of, you know, with the DH, maybe they'll kind of switch that off. But do you kind of feel like this might be a slight, I shouldn't say it because he just came off a World Series, and maybe I'm just kind of crazy at the moment because it's very late at night, but I almost feel like this is a pretty risky free acquisition for the Dodgers.
I mean, risky for the Dodgers is what, you know, like right. Half the risk for most of the other teams in baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to feel sorry for them if it doesn't work out. Like they'll be able to figure it out. They'll, you know, how many bad players have the Dodgers and Yankees signed? And, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But yeah, I mean, is that less than Olson's extension?
Bryce, where are you at there? Is it?
Yep. Yeah, Bryce, I need you to tell me here this, Bryce, but I mean, it's definitely, it's like similar at least, right? So, I mean,
it's pretty similar, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a money thing. This was the Braves pretty much basically choosing Matt Olson over Freddie Freeman. The Braves did not believe in Freddie Freeman long term. So that'll be a fascinating player to watch. I could totally see Freddie Freeman like having like two incredible years and just the Braves getting hammered over and over again.
Yeah.
And then it starts to flip, you know, year three, year four, year five, he's getting, you know, up into the, his later ages. And not everyone ages like Joey Votto. Joey Votto is a unicorn. Players are not supposed to hit that well in their age 37, 38 season. That is not normal. It's like Joey Votto, David Ortiz, and a handful of other guys. It's not normal. So,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Max did say so. Olson's is eight years for $168 million. So pretty similar.
Literally almost identical. That's wild. That's fun. That's fun. That'll be a fun, fascinating debate to watch for years. And I mean, I think there's valid points on both sides. I don't think that's one of those like, you know, this is right and this is wrong. Mm-hmm. I'll say it. I don't really care. The loyalty thing. I mean, these guys are signing a lot of money in this, you know. Loyalty is whatever. I mean, you know, like you got to do what's best for your team. Especially when you're talking that much money. We're not talking about, you know, keeping a guy for an extra 2 years or, you know, bringing Brett Bronson a Royal to let him retire as a Red. This is a much different, you know, situation than that.
I guess Mike Miner and the Brandon Williamson move, that probably counts out the chance of Johnny Cueto coming, right?
It was reported after it that the Reds were interested in him. I don't know. I got an interesting theory. I wonder if the Reds, because they have like 17,000 starting pitchers right now.
Right.
Wonder if the Reds are going to kind of similarly adopt like some of the Rays strategy where they've had some guys bounce back and forth between starting and relieving.
Carlos,
I don't know.
Fuming as you're saying this, as he's and not. You know.
I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not saying it's a right or wrong or in between. Typically, if the Rays have done it, they've probably done it right. It's usually, you know, what's happened. But I'm kind of interested in that. Or you know, do the Reds like just view Vladimir Gutierrez not like the rest of us do and say we think he's a reliever and like he's just going to all of a sudden be a reliever? I don't know. Or we're going to make him a reliever for a year and maybe try him back as a starter next year. You know, I think there could be maybe some of that at play. That'll be kind of the interesting thing I'm watching in spring training when we get going is who gets slotted where and who goes to AAA, who stays, who goes to the bullpen. There's a lot of very difficult, but I guess kind of fun decisions.
Yeah, where's my guy Raver San Martin going to be? I mean, you know, that's my dude. So I got to keep an eye out to see where he's going to be, obviously. Seems like people are pretty high on him throughout the franchise. So I'm hoping that he gets a chance to succeed, whether that's as a, you know, reliever stretched out in Louisville. Who knows? There's a lot to kind of go into that. So we did get some comments from Nick Kroll the last few days.
Let's jump into the Nick Kroll conversation. We got a clip we'll play about that, and then we'll kind of get to the questions. I think we might answer some of it while we're having this discussion here. Sure. And that's pretty much it. We'll answer whatever questions are there. It's awesome. 12:19. I guess this is our peak time here, Tim, because our chat is lit up. Our peak time is late at night and when the Reds do something really bad or people hate it. That's
well, our show name is Late Night Reds Talk.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. The people are here for it.
What dumb idiot thought of that name?
Let's play the video first, then we'll get to the comments.
We talked about we made some moves to get to budget. We got to budget. We wanted to make sure that we're giving this team every opportunity to fight for a playoff spot in 2022. And this move was a move to be able to do that. And, you know, it's extremely important for us to, you know, continue to add to this team if we can.
Field a playoff team in 2022. Huh?
Why the hell would he say playoffs? Like, why do you even put that out there?
Anything else? Competitive? You say competitive. People are still annoyed, but it's just like, oh, okay, whatever, Nick. Playoffs? I'm going to Jim Mora of this right now. Like,
read the room, man. Read the room.
Yeah. No one believes you. Like, no one. And so, yeah, this goes back to our conversation we had the other day where he just 1,000% needs, like, a PR person around him. That's like, if he gets asked a question and they're like, no, don't answer that. Don't answer that. Just walk away. Like, next question. Next question is acceptable. Believe me. Just it's acceptable.
Read from an index card. I don't care. Yeah. Like
cue cards in the back that are like, we're going to be competitive. We're going to look to improve our team. Any of that. Playoffs. No, don't say it.
Yeah. I overall think I like Nick Kroll. I'm not like gonna definitively say I think I like him. I think I like a lot of his plan. I think he's a smart guy, but my goodness, man, like just stop talking. Like you make it worse every single time. Read the comments, Tim, and then give your thoughts, and then I'll get into mine because I'll probably be long-winded as normal.
I like that. It makes it fun. So you see from Charlie G saying that Nick Kroll says the Mariners deal got the Reds under budget, that a lot of them explore a move like Mike Minor saying he's a quality starter. We kind of touched on that at the start of the show. And then saying later on that they're still adding to the roster and they will not be trading Luis Castillo or Tyler Mahle. So I will say I kind of honestly do believe them as far as Castillo and Mahle. And keeping them on the roster. I know it's really difficult to say, and we hear see this stuff all the time. Yes, crazy Carl 30, who is not one of our co-hosts, who's not here this week.
He's typing really well for this hour. I'm impressed.
I'm impressed. Well, it's not midnight in Texas.
That's true. That's true. It's a great point.
So, yeah. Yeah, I kind of suspect that they're going to plan on building their rotation around those two. I don't really kind of suspect that that's kind of really be the things that they kind of work with on that situation. And hey, you know, like Crazy Carl said, you bring in Cueto to put with those guys. I like it.
So I'll start with what I think is going on with Castillo and Mahle. Okay, so I better not start there. Let's start with overall kind of what I think is going on. This is my read of this, and I could be off. I'm just giving you my opinion. Yeah. Reds, it's obvious by this comment, and this is great. This is the first time I've actually heard like a budget and some sort of quantitative number-ish in ballpark, a associated with it. So the Reds clearly had to get payroll down below 100 million because they're like at 80 something million now. Who knows how much more they have, but they clearly, Nick Kroll was told to get it down below 100 million. Scream how much you hate Bob Castellini. Do whatever you need to do. That's fine. I don't blame anyone on that. Okay, but let's move past that. Can we have a conversation about like the real world past that? Is that okay? I know like there's two different things here. Crucify Bob Castellini if you want. Now let's talk about the real world and what Nick Kroll could do. I don't know if I hate the plan if that's the circumstances. So what other moves could the Reds have done to get below 100 million that doesn't jeopardize their future? I mean, sure, they could have, you know, salary dumped Mike Moustakas and thrown a bunch of prospects to it. Would that have been good for the Reds long term? No, that would have been awful. So I think that in Nick Kroll's thinking, there's four players that have value, pretty good value, that their contracts expire in the next 2 years. Okay, Castillo, Malley, Gray, and Winker. Which of those four, Tim? I'm sorry to like be a teacher here or whatever I'm doing. I don't know.
Like, holy crap!
Which of those four are the two that are the most like injury risk? Gray and Winker, right?
Yeah, Gray and Winker.
And I think that was a big reason why those were the two that were moved right now, because Sonny Gray, every pitch he throws is, you know, chance of injury risk, and then boom, his value's gone. Whereas, knock on wood, we haven't really seen that with Castillo and Malley, and Winker hasn't played a full season. So I think that was the thinking there. I also think, and I haven't really heard anyone talk about this, the qualifying offers going away. Remember, when Trevor Bauer walked, the Reds got Jay Allen, who I think is their number eight prospect right now. So it's not like he just walked. The Reds got a substantial back. Now, it's not as much as like Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray and Jason Winker brought back the Reds like third and fourth prospect. And so it's not as good as that, but you're not getting nothing back. So I think that's why those two are the ones that are moved. And now everyone's thinking, goes, well, why aren't you trading Castillo and Malley? Well, do you have to trade them this second? I mean, neither one of them have, knock on wood, shown any injury risk. So they're probably still going to have about the same value at the deadline. When you get to the trade deadline, there aren't free agents to sign. Teams are more desperate. There's no alternative. If you are in a race and this is your chance, you know, you're going to make a move. I mean, the Dodgers with, you know, Scherzer at the deadline last year, they gave a good prospect, and they had to pay him a lot of money.
Whereas to go to the Mets.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of the thinking there. And then, while you're at it all here with all this, okay, now you look at the Reds roster. Okay, it's still not that terrible. So why not add a guy like a Donovan Solano and a Mike Minor and at least give these guys somewhat of a chance? Maybe it's not a good chance, but you're giving them somewhat of a chance. You're not mortgaging your future. I don't think you're mortgaging your future.
No.
You're giving them a chance. A guy like Donovan Solano, a guy like Mike Minor, they could potentially be flipped to the deadline. So I kind of see this all as, you know, kind of a win-win here. For the most part. And overall, I think the Winker trade was fine. I know a lot of people hated that return. I don't think it was a bad return. The Gray trade felt weak to me, but again, the injury, how many starts does he make? That's what I feel is going to determine if that was a good trade or not. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
No. I appreciate it because I think that you really make good points. And I think that when we kind of go through all this, and you know, I think it's so quickly easily be negative, and I get it. You know, I do think losing Jesse Winker sucks, but also like I understand, you know, like we said, the injury point and this and that. And I know a lot of people are like, well, you guys pointed out that he has flaws. And it's like, we're not saying that in a negative thing to defend the Reds. We're just kind of pointing it out. Like, that's what it is. So yeah, I totally like your points. I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, maybe they can, you know, Kroll said that they're going to look to kind of make some more moves. I don't really know what the market is at this point. The fact that Nick Castellanos doesn't have a market right now really shocks me. But that's not for, you know, that's not to say I think he'll be back here by any means, but you know, at this point, who knows?
Yeah, we did get a question on that from Harrison. a little bit ago, and I wanted to get to it kind of now at this point. Realistic free agents the Reds could sign. I don't really think Castellanos is one. I think the Reds are probably looking more of the guys that could have some potential for flipping. You sign Castellanos, you're not going to flip him. You know, when you, it's kind of like players, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, but players at that, they're kind of like a used, like a car that you buy and you get drive off the lot. Once you drive them off, like they don't really have a lot of value when you're signing guys to, you know, $100+ million contracts. So I would say, I don't know, maybe a guy like Jorge Soler that you're buying low, maybe a guy like Tommy Pham who could use like a use it and prove it at a team friendly ballpark. Those two guys make a lot of sense to me. And I don't know what the budget is. He said that, and take a lot of what Kral says, you know, with a grain of salt. And like most GMs, they're not going to tell you everything, and they would be stupid to tell you everything because they're overplaying their hand. So I mean, I think those two guys are guys that make sense. Anyone to you, Tim?
Tommy Pham makes a ton of sense. I saw Die Hard Red said he believes Tommy Pham will be a Red within a week. I hope you're right. I would love the idea. I would love to have Tommy Pham here. I just think he's a good player. And so, yeah, those are kind of the names I kind of lean towards too. I'll be transparent. I don't super know what the market is right now. I know Michael Conforto is still out there. So, you know, if you want to try to get some people back in seats, like.
I love Conforto, man.
Whew. Me too.
You sent Conforto and.
Yeah, we're having a whole different conversation in the chat right now.
Yeah, yeah. Things really, the team really gets interesting really fast.
Yeah, I tried to like kind of narrow it down on SpotTrack, but that's very confusing right now because it still has guys listed as free agents, even though they've signed with teams. So I don't know. But yeah, I like the idea of Tommy Pham. I'm all for it.
Yeah. And then we'll get to some questions here in a second, but this is, yeah, I just kind of put this together, kind of what I could see maybe the Reds potential lineups being. Again, I mean, you look at the weighted runs created plus 100 is average. I mean, the only guys that really aren't are Senzel and Barrero, who we're hoping can be better. Now, the Reds don't have a lot of depth behind those guys, so they would need obviously a lot of health. And, you know, you need a lot of guys to get through a season. But again, you just look at the lineup up and down, it's not awful. And the defense is definitely significantly improved. For whatever that's worth, you know, it's worth something. You know, it's hard to quantify exactly how much it's worth, but it is definitely worth something.
Yeah, I love the versus right-handed pitching lineup. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean that's good, and Solano definitely helps the left-handed pitching. You know, a lot. How much? I mean, honestly, Reds lineup right now might be. I think it's probably better than it was on Monday morning, because Winker didn't hit lefties well at all, and but Suarez.
You can't say that.
And Suarez was awful last year, although, you know, I mean, he'd been good through his career. I was hoping for a resurgence, but, I mean, obviously Castellanos is a huge, huge loss against left-handed pitching, but where it was on Monday, it's honestly probably better. So, I guess that's a positive.
Yeah. I did see Resin 4 commented that they need to make an upgrade over Aquino. And I do kind of, I mean, obviously I agree with that. I know you love Aquino, but I don't know if you necessarily trust that he's going to be, you know, the big time bat they need against left-handed pitching by any means.
Yeah. And I mean, look, sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you pencil in, you know, Pham or something, like someone's going to get hurt and then Aquino will be the next guy in. So even if you say that, it's not, you know, kicking Aquino to the curb. There's no point in kicking Aristides Aquino to the curb right now. If you stuck with him this long and you don't have a whole lot of depth, why would you dump him? He's like costing nothing either right now.
Yeah, I think also we got to remember, like, we're at this point where we're talking about these guys, and I know it's been rough these past weeks, but we're definitely in a better situation. We're talking about a couple years ago of, like, where does Philip Ervin fit in this on this roster? Like, we're past that at least.
Yeah. I don't know. I think like 2019 Philip Ervin right now, that's for sure. But he fell off quick. I hated that, man. I really liked
Philip. I know. I liked him a lot.
You want to knock out some questions? I'm going to start through the top and make sure we haven't missed anything. Sign Conforto. Yeah, let's do it. Extend Castillo. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd be looking to extend Castillo or Mally right now. I hope that they're, you know, in on that. That sounds really good.
Yeah, I did see here Bryce did say Irvin would help the team, so maybe I am way off there.
It's
almost one in the morning.
He had one incredible year against left-handed pitching, so, I mean, sure, if you're getting that, then yeah, absolutely. He was incredible in 2019. Yeah. That's why I typically, like, if you saw that graphic that I put up, I always try with platoon splits to at least, like, do, like, 3 years of data for guys that have it, because they can really get really fluky over, like, one-year samples. And Phil Irvin 2019 is, like, the perfect example, because he never came close to that. Bryce had an interesting comment, good comment here. The big thing about Gray was a 500K difference between him and Gray, and they were traded 36 hours apart. So I'm assuming Bryce is saying the difference between Gray and Mike Minor. I mean, again, you were trading Gray, though. The difference, in my opinion, is you're trading Gray and you're getting back a prospect for him. So you've got, you know, Chase Petty. So it's not, I wouldn't say Gray versus Minor. It's pretty clear that the Reds are more focused, and you can hate this, but it's a strategy. Everyone wants a strategy. The Reds are more focused on the future than the present. And there's pros and cons to that strategy. And I do think you can do two things at once to some extent, and I hope that's what the Reds are doing, you know, within a couple of years. I hope, like, when you get to, you know, after this hump or whatever we're at right now, I hope you're able to be moving guys and then replacing them, and you're replenishing and you're trading from strengths, and, you know, trading when the value is highest. But what you're not trading Sonny Gray when his value is really high and then having to go to Mike Minor. I hope there's, you know, someone right there ready that's, you know, comparable, if that makes sense what I'm saying. Hopefully, Bryce, I made sense. Tim, you got anything else on that one?
No, I'm kind of just picking back off what you say in that circumstance. This is one. Yeah. That was the exact one I was going to click on. Very nice.
Mr. Juan, what are your thoughts on Brandon Williamson ceiling floor? I mean, I'm not a prospect guru, so I'm not going to pretend. I mean, the guys at Just Baseball, I definitely would highly recommend, you know, what they talked about with the return. I tweeted out a link yesterday or whatever, so just check my feed for that. But yeah, they were really high on him. Like, when I heard them talk about him, I was like, okay, all right, this is good. But I think he's the Reds' number three prospect right now. And the Reds have a pretty decent top 10 prospect list, so him sliding right in there is exciting. I think he was in Double A last year, and I mean, Nick Kroll said he's going to compete for a rotation again. Take whatever Kroll says with a grain of salt. But
another,
I mean,
one of those.
He at least has. This isn't a guy that's like Chase Petty that's 100 years away. I mean, this guy is a guy that could potentially, if things go well, pitch this year. And definitely is probably at least looking, you know, at next year at the latest. So yeah, that's encouraging. Oh, I should have just looked at the next comment. Because Evan gave us a great thing. Brandon Williamson could be a great three or solid two, in my unadulterated, non-educated, optimistic opinion, after talking to some inspirational minds. Evan, I love that comment, man. That's awesome.
Thank you, Evan. We appreciate it.
Evan's a good dude.
Yeah, I like it.
You take this one, Tim.
Yeah, so they asked if you guys believe Kroll when they say they're not moving Malley or Castillo. I think at the moment I do. We kind of talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, where at the moment, I feel like the Reds are going into the season game planning on these guys being obviously the top of the rotation. Now, you know, if this all goes to shit, like a lot of people think it will, and we get to the trade deadline and this is looking really bad. Yeah. I mean, why couldn't they move? You mentioned Mike Minor earlier as a potential Dan Straley move, like they made a few years back when they got Luis Castillo. So, was it Luis Castillo? Was it? I always get Latos and Straley mixed up. Latos was DeSclafani. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm on the same page. So yeah, at the moment, I believe that we will look at Luis Castillo and Tyler Malley on the roster. But if they're 16, 17 games under 500 at the trade deadline and it's not looking good and they can get some good stuff for them, why not?
Yeah. I mean, my guess is they've been fielding offers and no one's paying them what they're worth. And yeah. You can't just trade guys whenever the hell you feel like it. You have to have You have to have someone willing to pay for it back. So, I mean, I think they've probably been fielding offers like, yeah, no one right now is. Maybe we can get someone that's a little more desperate at the deadline. It is not worth giving them up now, especially when there may be guys that we could extend. Maybe guys, if we have our development really, you know, strikes gold this year and we feel like we're really ready for next year, we can, you know, add more, ramp up and reevaluate. So, yeah, I just don't think you have to be in a rush to trade either two of those guys. Their values, you know, knock on wood, isn't going to diminish much over the next couple months.
Yeah. Can I pick the next one after this one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I do like this, by the way. I think Max actually made a really good comment earlier about the Reds are doing things very similar to what the Rays have been doing, where they've been trading guys when they realize they're not going to be able to sign them back and stocking up on guys and kind of just like starting that rotation, which has really worked out for Tampa for a while now. So I actually really like that point he made earlier.
Yeah, I'm with that too. And I mean, I think that, you know, if this is how you're going to be spending, you know, that makes a lot of sense. It makes more sense, you know, to kind of spend your money on free agents and get value out of the guys that when they start costing more and they're close. And the qualifying offer really, I think, changes the Reds' mindset a lot on a lot of these things at the end, because you're not getting anything back.
Yeah.
Max's comment here on Goody, Vladimir Gutierrez. Yeah, I definitely don't think he's a lock to start. I think he probably makes the team. I don't see them sending him down to AAA. That would, you know, unless he just really has a disastrous spring. I think I could definitely see him just getting moved to the bullpen. You know, they did that with Tony Santion last year and it worked out. I think Gutierrez's stuff would play well in the bullpen.
Yeah, I did too. I just had to bring this one up real quick because Sydney asked it, our good friend Sydney. Thoughts on having all of the Farmers? Because today the Reds announced Buck Farmer to a minor league deal. And honestly, is there a better baseball name than Buck Farmer?
Not many. That's a strong name. That is a strong name.
I just saw that in there and I was like, I gotta make mention of Buck Farmer.
Yeah. I didn't make a slide for Buck. I'm sorry. He's the minor league signing and it's late and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Bryce, AAA rotation going to be better than the Pirates? Hell yeah, it is. Hell
you
yeah,
know, I love is. To read anything bad about the Pirates. So keep bringing it, Bryce.
Yeah, the Reds and Four kind of added what I was saying. You know, Goody has relief pitcher stuff. I could see him kind of being that, like, you know, two or three inning guy. And I kind of wonder if, that Rays model. I kind of see the Reds maybe doing more of a middle ground between Tampa and San Francisco, what they did last year. And you know how much, how annoyingly obsessed I am with good platoons. it looks like the Reds are finding some platoon guys. So, you know, everyone who thinks I'm Nick Kroll's burner. You called it. I mean, Donovan Solano was signed today, was he not?
It's true. There was a really good comment on there I saw. Let me find it again real quick. That's really Branch Brown made this point, and I think we've talked about this. I know we're kind of talking about the year coming up. I think it's been, you know, we saw him obviously play a lot there this year. And, you know, I think now with the DH, that takes a lot of pressure off his legs too, so he doesn't have to play every day. I know this kind of goes into what happens with Andrew Knapp as far as like the backup catcher role. But I really do think that, you know, and we've seen this throughout baseball. This isn't like the Reds are the first to do it. I mean, Joe Mauer played nothing but first base the rest of his career after he was battling injuries from catching. And then Buster Posey, you know, split time between catcher and first base for a while. I know that's a name that gives Reds fans nightmares, myself included. I was there, so I'll never get over it. But yeah, I certainly think, you know, obviously whenever, you know, now, you know, we've talked about this, the designated hitter gives the Reds so many options. And, you know, with situations like you can take Joey Votto a day off in the field, he can hit. You can play Tyler Stevenson at first base those days. You know, Mike Moustakas, you can kind of work that situation there as well. As long as we're not doing that thing we had last year where, like, there's, like, talk about Tyler Stevenson playing in the outfield, I'm cool. Like, if it's, like, catcher, first base, DH, I'm in.
Yeah, no outfield. No outfield. Let's, no. We don't need no Wilson Contreras garbage going over here.
God.
Yeah, I actually had someone ask me about that the other day. I was kind of looking through Tyler Stevenson. Remember, Tyler Stevenson only caught 60 games last year.
Yeah.
So, it's hard
he
to see
learned him. First base at the major league level.
Yeah, it's hard to see him maybe more than doubling that. So I would say probably 120 starts is probably the max. I don't think you want to, you know, really go crazy. So I'd probably say he's maybe in like that 110, 120 range of starts behind the plate. And this is assuming health all year. And then, you know, maybe he gets like, you know, 30 or 40 between first base and DH. And probably a lot of those would just be depending on how he's feeling, how Joey's feeling, how Mike Moustakas is feeling, yeah. Who maybe has the worst legs. They're the DH. That's probably kind of, I guess, how you'd look at it.
Yeah, I agree.
Good question here. You want to read it?
Yeah. So Die Hard Reds asks, what do you guys make of the lack of market for Castellanos? Do you think there's any chance we sign into a 2-year deal with an opt-out after the first year? We kind of touched on this a few minutes ago. I am really shocked at this point with where we are with spring training starting up and like everything kind of, I know obviously we're in a circumstance where, you know, everyone's kind of rushing to get their roster together because of the lockout and the shortened spring training. So I'm sure he's got suitors out there. I know like the Phillies were talked about for quite a while there. But I am shocked he's not signed, to be honest with you. I thought at this point with everything going on, maybe now that Freeman's gone, he's probably, you know, he's definitely one of the better bats available. As far as the second part of this, I would love nothing more than to come on here, Die Hard Reds, and say, yes, Nick Castellanos will be a Red. We'll do some kind of 1-year prove it deal. But I don't see it. I think with the moves they made, the conversation that came out where Bobby Nightingale mentioned earlier in the week that they haven't even talked to him. I would definitely be shocked if Nick, and then Jose Barrera is already wearing number 2. So I feel like we've just about all but moved on from that.
Yeah. I mean, our guy, John Heyman, actually had a tweet that kind of goes along with this, that Correa, Freeman story. Well, I guess Freeman's gone now. Castellanos and Conforto, all of the qualifying offers attached. I know there was some confusion on that, but I guess the qualifying offers are still in play. So, I mean, I think a reason that his market has dwindled. Someone has to give up a quality draft pick for them. And, you know, you kind of see how valuable those are with kind of what I was saying earlier. And then, I mean, he's not a good defensive player and he doesn't want a DH. So that probably limits his market a little bit. I don't know. It's hard to see him coming back to the Reds just because I just don't see them looking for, you know, like a 5-6 year deal at this point for really anyone. And it's hard to see him accepting some short term deal when he just turned down like $19 million for 1 year from the Reds. Like that would kind of be like going back on what you just declined. I don't know. I mean that. So I don't know. I don't see it. I mean, I'd love it. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would love to see him.
Let's go. Bring it on. But I don't.
More episodes with Ryan. Love it.
Yeah.
I like this one here. Could you see the Reds getting a full fledged catching prospect, one of the upcoming deals to move Stevenson to first base? Yes. But after JV's gone.
I'll take the dissent on that. I don't think the Reds are going to move Stevenson from a primary catcher role unless they have to, just because it diminishes his value. Don't know. I think they're going to want to get the max value. I only think they're going to, you know, move him if he absolutely has to. And there's nothing that to this point to me, you know, screams that they would have to.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Evan asked, you know, I don't think any of these moves do anything to negatively impact any sort of aspiration the Reds have for next year or the year after. These moves really don't change my opinion that 2024 is the year. I mean, yeah, I definitely think that's the direction they're going in. And yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't think they've done anything that hurts 2024 if that's the goal, you know, to this point. I don't really see it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. All right. And then is there any other ones we want to touch on before we get to our last topics? There's so many. We definitely are so grateful. If we could answer them all, we would.
Yeah. Sorry. I tried to keep up. If Carlos would have came on here, I could have, and he could have yapped a little bit. I probably could have. Jim, no, I like Jorge Soler. I don't know if Clay's still watching, but Clay doesn't. I like him. I think he's a good potential. You know, you could buy maybe a little bit lower than maybe his ceiling is worth, and you know, it could be just a guy you flip or. But yeah, I mean, I think it. And then yeah, I mean, Evan mentioned McClain. He's kind of the forgotten guy.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's a great point by Evan. That's definitely a guy I want to watch this spring, and see kind of where he's at. It'd be awesome if he just made the team.
I mean, Jonathan India style.
Yeah, that kind of changes things, you know, where he's kind of a guy that you could, you know, what we've heard is he could kind of be plugged in anywhere. So yeah, McClain is close.
Yeah, I saw he mentioned earlier that he watched some clips of his swing, and I've done the same thing, and I'm pretty impressed with it.
Yeah,
got some quick hands.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know what, Reds and Four, LOL. Yeah, that's where we're at. You know, I'm kind of at the point here where, you know, look, there were some things done I didn't love. I wish the Reds would have spent more and gone. I hate punting on a 25% playoff odds, but look, it is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and bitch and complain about it all year. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to talk about the players we got. I'm ready to talk about 2024. I'm ready to talk about 2056 if I'm still alive. And
Buck Farmer.
Let's go. You want to close talking about the spring?
It is. So we do have the spring training schedule. And as you see here on the left, Dick just had an interview with Chris Welsh where he didn't know just quite yet what that was going to look like. So we do now know what the broadcast schedule will look like for the Reds for during spring training. So we can see some Max McClain games, which I'm pretty excited for. And then you see there also that we've got some situation. We've got a couple more games to be excited about. Farm those Bucks. I'm all for that.
Nick Lodola. There you go, Evan. I'm sorry. Friday, you guys will have to hear the Cleveland broadcast. They're not terrible, but they're not, it's not John Sadek. It's not the GOAT. It's not the, yeah. You know, if there's any, hey, you know what? If there's any reason to watch Reds baseball all year, I don't think the Reds are going to be terrible and be, you know, a 90 loss team. But if they are,
John Sadek.
John Sadek's going to be elite at that. He is going to handle that like the champ that he is. He's going to make it interesting. It's not going to be cranky pants up there in the booth being all upset, you know, every night about things that he doesn't even know. But but yeah, I think we got John on a Sunday. I think he's doing the Sunday game if I'm reading this right. Well, I'm assuming it's Reds broadcast. I assume it could be Jim Day. Actually, probably is Jim Day because John's doing the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
maybe he's going out there on Wednesday. I don't know. We'll see. I can't wait to watch John again. He's our guy.
Friend, two-time guest of the pod. Our friend does our intro. Yeah, Team John for life.
Yeah.
Ooh, Jim. Could Matt McClain be the next Dustin Pedroia? You certainly hope so.
Next Chris Taylor.
I'll take that too.
Ben Zobrist. Let's really go big.
Yeah, that's Nick Senzel.
It's 12:52. I'm allowed to curse.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only time. I honestly have no idea why any of you are watching this at this hour, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, we kind of just threw this together last minute because we saw the trade. Now, barring if anything happens the next 2 days, we will not be doing an emergency show because it's our favorite time of the year before opening day, of course.
I made a first four exception, but yeah, maybe we can get Carlos on here solo. That would be.
That'd be awesome. Honestly.
Actually. Yeah. I mean, that would be our highest rated show. There's no question about it.
Yeah. And then we'll close out with this nice comment from Bryce for you.
Bryce, we stand you, man. Thanks for your support.
Yeah. And being like a regular guest on the show when I'm not around. That's always nice too. It's always appreciated. But
No,
probably not. But I guess we can go ahead and wrap this up. This has been really awesome that we put this together. really last minute, and you guys still hung out through super late times. We love doing this, obviously. We definitely appreciate everything. You guys have been awesome as we've done two episodes this week. That's not common for us. So we really appreciate it. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hey, if you're a first timer and you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Go to Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review if you prefer. Whatever you guys want to, you know, any way you guys can get show some love for us and some support, we definitely appreciate it. We'll be back early next week on behalf of Nick. Hopefully Carlos is back. We're out. Go to Bet Online and make some money.
Go Reds.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay,
when the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone,
or you say,
hang it in there,
because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak,
then this is your sign to call, text, or chat 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.